Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this special Casterbris The Night of the Doctor reaction cast.
With me today is James McLean, the normal person. With me, in a small box, as you can tell, or maybe a tin, is Christian Crawley, the editor. Sometimes, when he's not busy, I keep him inside a small tin, as you can hear.
Let me out! Let me out!
See, there we go. Of course I didn't let him out.
No, of course, except on Mondays when we record the podcast.
Except on Mondays when we record the podcast.
Yes. So basically, this is a kind of, this is an edgy...
Yes.
Podcast.
Podcast on the edge of our seats.
It's an edgy ad gorilla, ad hoc, The Night of the Doctor. Wow-wee, what the hell was that? Amazing, coming up more, please, podcast.
Yes, absolutely. Because obviously you found out about it a little beforehand. You got the message from BBC, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. Yes, and I knew it was coming along, and so I told the community, the Casterbris community, which I believe you probably, dear listener, are one.
But no one.
And then along it came.
But you weren't expecting that. You didn't know that was what was...
I wasn't expecting that. Shall we stop being coy? Because presumably if someone's listening to this reaction cast, they've watched it.
Yes, I kind of... kind of assume so. I beg your pardon.
So, we've got the Eighth Doctor.
We have, yes.
The Eighth Doctor, Paul McGann, as the Doctor.
You sound quite excited about that.
I am excited about that, because I've long been an admirer of Paul McGann, even before he was the Doctor.
Do you think that's in part what's so wonderful about this is because a lot of us for a long time, not just for our own personal selfish means, but from his point of view as well, we've wanted to see him established again and given us some sort of a credit for what he's done and what he's still doing. And obviously the show's not been able to do that. So is that in part of it? Is it sort of like we're happy for him?
I think it's possibly a bit of both.
Yeah.
I think it's a confirmation that, hello, yes, there are classic Doctors. It's that the rumour was true and that he's finally got his, although it is a mini-series, it's not going to be on TV, presumably, although we don't know what's happening on Children in Need. Mm-hmm. He has got his moment in the new Who sun, as it were.
But it's more than
like
that.
Like Peter Davison.
It's more than that. Because, in a sense, because
it's
they...
It's a key aspect of the 50th, isn't it?
But because they referenced the companions from the Big Finish audio.
Of course, yes.
Charlie
and Molly... Lucy, yeah.
They've canonised his entire run, which I think was another very nice touch, that, in a sense, they've not just legitimised him as the Doctor, they've sort of essentially said, very loosely, of course, they've certainly said that the stuff that you've heard of him, that he's done on the Big Finish audios, are essentially part of the range. They are his history. So, in a sense, it's given those, and as I said to you in instant message, because I think everyone... pretty much accepted this if they've got any sense, but Wikipedia clearly doesn't, because Wikipedia likes to point out whether these audios are actually canon or not is up for the audience to decide. But it's actually sort of said here, the stuff that Paul McGann's done. And interestingly enough, they didn't use any of the New Adventures or BBC books, specifically the Big Finish ones, the ones that he was a part of, have been effectively canonised, which I think was pretty damn cool.
I'm so excited by it. I'm going to have to watch it again.
I've never done this before. I don't do this, but I have actually watched it about 3 or 4 times now.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I've always said on our podcast that they should never do the Time War. I always said it was a bad move because I like the idea of it being something so big, so ridiculously grandiose that you couldn't really conceptualize it. When you've got a war between... the biggest beings in the universe, Time Lords and the Daleks, and you're dealing with temporal mechanics, you can't do it. But now watching that, I think I was wrong. You need to do it because you need to somehow... Watching that has somehow given the Doctor's life, I don't know, it's given it somehow some more sort of dramatic realisation. Perhaps in a sense that 7 minutes is utterly tied together the continuity of the Doctor in a way which hadn't been done before. And I think it needed to be done because now, seeing that, it gives you a totally different light on Eccleston. It gives you a totally different light on McGann. And it gives you a totally different light on the whole nuances and the power of that era, the Time War, and how it changed people's perception of the people involved in it. It's incredible.
And of course, we discover that the Hurt Doctor is quite old.
Yes. Yes. Well, I mean, he has hinted that, hasn't he, in interviews, as we said in our last.
Yes, he has indeed. Yeah.
That the whole point was that this was meant to be an older. He's been around for some time, and I thought that was quite well done, because I wondered how they were going to push that in. And unfortunately, Christian Corley earlier, Casterbarite, Christian Corley wanted to just moot the possibility that this John Hurt was a 2.5 doctor. I it'd be a good point to toss it out there that
toss that out there that you thought he was a pre-Hartnell doctor as well.
I said it was a possibility. What I said earlier, I'll actually put this on record in case I'm wrong and everyone can laud me. I said maybe one of the drives of the Day of the Doctor is that there's a portent of catastrophe that he knew about when he was on Gallifrey, which moves him, which took him on the run, and in a sense made the Hurt Doctor the person who is inadvertently realized whatever portent he was given, because the whole nuance of this Day of the Doctor is that it's something he's been running from all his life. So I said to Christian, maybe there is something we're going to find out that was said that he learned on Gallifrey, which took him on the run in the first part to try and avoid becoming what he is, what the John Hurt character becomes. And in a sense, maybe you could almost argue that's what Paul McGann's directly doing in that sequence.
Perhaps.
He is a conscientious objector. He is refusing to get involved in a war which might, you know, annihilate his own people. Maybe there was a portent he knew at the very beginning before Totter's Lane that he would be ultimately, he could be the destroyer of the Gallifrey. I don't know, you know, maybe. We would just talk about these ideas. We had no idea this was going to come up and sort of throw them all out the window. I don't know. But it's terribly exciting and very rewarding. Why Corley in a box? Why now? Why is an odd date, isn't it?
It is an odd date. I mean, it was supposed to be revealed on the Red Button on the weekend. I mean, there's every chance that it could be the Children in Need event, so they want to get it out there early. Don't see why it would be. I'm sure they've got plenty of things they can show us from the Day of the Doctor. So I don't know. But I mean, they did the same last weekend. They told us we were getting two trailers, one on Saturday, one on Sunday, and we got them on Friday and Saturday. So
do you think it's a way to sort of try and trick the media? Sort of these are sort of media tactics to put the media off their feet, so they're not actually hunting for stuff.
Yeah, it could be that. It could also be something to do with the Save the Day hashtag, which is supposed to, as it gets used, we're supposed to get more and more features unlocked.
Yeah.
So it could be that as well.
Or is it?
Go on.
I was going to say, is it the other possibility, which has happened a few times this year, there was a chance that something was about to leak and they wanted to get it out before it leaked.
Perhaps.
I would be quite tempted to go with that. I mean, it'll depend on whether they show. If they show it on the Children of Need, then I think that's what's happened. That someone's got wind. Some newspapers said we're looking at a situation where we might actually reveal that you've got Paul McGann, and they've leaked it early to stop it from being spoiled. But I don't know that. Either way, it was. I don't know. It was just nice to have a surprise, wasn't it? Because we get so much.
It was very nice.
We get so much, especially us, because we get stuff that we can't tell you, dear listener, occasionally, which is actually fairly infuriating, really. It's not something where you feel quite powerful. And, we know something you don't. It's annoying because you want to tell people and you can't. You get to know a lot about what's going to happen or what's going on before you'd really want to. And this is an example where it didn't.
Well, I think we've all heard the rumours, haven't we? But, you know, with the ongoing denials and, you know, Colin Baker saying no one's in the 50th, and Paul McGann saying I'm not in the 50th, clearly they weren't in the 50th. They're in the 50th prequel. It's all semantics.
Well, that's interesting, though, isn't it? Because, I mean, without wanting to open up speculation even further, but if they've lied about this, is there a chance that there's, you know, because when Colin came on and he quite specifically said on an interview recently, didn't he, that neither Peter, Sylvester himself or Paul had been called back.
Yeah.
So he specifically lied about Paul. So is there a chance that there are some other white lies there and we'll get. I'm surprised, to be honest, because, I mean, we said this many, many moons ago about how Stephen Moffat was always so very pro Paul McGann, even back in the early days before the series revival. He was a very pro Paul McGann being involved in everything. So we should have really seen this coming. In a sense, I feel quite bad for doubting him, because this is something which is, you know, because he is a fan. It stands to, it would have been nonsensical for him to have totally ignored, if nothing else, this vital key in the chain. It's brilliant. I'm so glad he got a bloody regeneration.
Yeah.
What
do you think then about the War Doctor versus the Ninth Doctor? Do you think? I mean, my theory, dear listener, is that the Ninth Doctor is the Ninth Doctor, and that there are two Ninth Doctors, and there's still the Ninth Incarnation. But what happens with the Time War undoes everything. And this gives us the Rose that we've seen, and gives us the Eccleston, the Rose that we've seen recently in the stills and the trailer, and gives us back the Eccleston Doctor.
Well, you see, I still think it's more simple than that. I think this is I mean, they made a very clear point in this that the McGann Doctor rejects his name for this incarnation.
Yeah. Well, yes.
So to me, it sounds very like that this is the missing Doctor that they knew existed. That they, for his crimes against, it's a bit of a cruel point of view, but for what he did, he had his name. And I get the impression maybe even this Doctor is quite happy having his name removed for what he has to do, because that enables him to do what he has to do. So I think this is going to be an incarnation that will eventually regenerate into Chris Eccleston. And I do wonder whether, while I don't think Chris Eccleston will be in this at all, I wonder whether we will get a CGI likeness regeneration at the end of it. I would
perhaps.
I would be, if he's gone so far to do the McGann end, I can't see him missing out on dovetailing this.
No.
And giving us the shoot to Eccleston. Even if they just do a McCoy and have him fall on the floor with a wig or lack of wig.
I was going to say, it'll be a bad, interesting wig, won't it?
It'd be a very interesting wig. A false head, maybe. I don't know. But I think they might do that. I think, and we've got.
You just find someone with a number two and just obfuscate their face with the regeneration energy.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, I say number two, dear listener, I don't mean a bodily function. I mean a hair, a trimmer length on the hair.
I thought you meant a Patrick Troughton.
No, I didn't mean that either.
No, not a Patrick Troughton. So no, a number two, not a number four. A number two. Yeah, no, so it was good. I mean, there was other things in there which was nice. Khan, it was nice to see Khan.
Yes, the Sisterhood of Khan.
I also noticed it was very cleverly done, because the Sisterhood of Khan has also appeared in the Big Finish audios. And they never, he never actually contradicted it. He never said, I've only been here once. He just said, I haven't been here for a while, or implied he'd not been for a while. So I thought that was a good move.
Is that the same actress?
I wasn't sure. I've not actually looked
up. From the Brain of Morbius. If it's not, she's a very clever replacement. Well, I don't know. I don't mean the old one. I mean the younger one at the end. Whose name escapes me at the moment. The one who takes over from Katrika.
Well, I mean, if you keep talking, I can...
Okay. You're going to look that up, are you?
I certainly am going to look it up.
Well, you might as well. Well, you've got the internet, and I'm in this little box.
I know.
So I can't.
What else do you have in that little box, just out of interest? Is there anything...
I have Castorbis Towers in this little box, because as you probably know, your tin is damaged to transcendental. I don't have much of an internet connection. I've only got this little sort of like two tin cans on a piece of string that I'm talking to you through.
Well, that was a bit of a mistake, wasn't it? You didn't think that,
was it?
Did you? Well, you've got a transcendental little tin box, but you didn't actually think about getting a sort of a simple internet connection or provider.
Well, no, I have a simple internet connection. Unfortunately, this lead tin cuts it off when you put the lid back on. It's really cruel of you.
I see. It's all very, very complicated. I still suspect it is just actually...
You started it.
Yeah, maybe I did. Do you know what her name was, right? Brain of Morbius? No,
no, I don't.
No,
she's the one who was in Katrika. Katrika's the old sister.
I don't think it is.
Does it begin with a no? Does it begin with a no?
They've only got... I'm just going through the list of names,
right.
And I'm not finding one that... Marin, Ohika.
Ohika. Marin's the old one. Who's Katrika then? What's that?
I don't know.
Oh, Katrika's Joan Sims, isn't it? Jones.
So we've just wasted a whole load of time.
Ohika. It's Ohika. I'm pretty sure it's Ohika.
Well, the other ones are labeled as sister. So I think we can safely say that.
It's not her.
It's not her.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, okay. I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure. I'll put
There's a moment of live discovery for you on the Castorbis reaction.
Yes, yes, and it's probably wrong. It could be wrong anyway. But yes, it's it was really good. It was very well done for 7 minutes. Only less than 7 minutes, technically, I think, because you had the trailer on.
Just a bit less, yeah.
Still less. Yeah. 7 minutes, very nicely plotted, very nicely paced. There wasn't anything that I didn't think was particularly out of kilter. I couldn't really fault it. Couldn't fault it anyway. I thought one of the things I thought was especially good was that he managed to get Paul McGann a range of emotions for Paul McGann within those 6 minutes, which is a very hard thing to do, to make sure he didn't seem flat. There was a little bit of eccentricity. There's a little bit of pressure. There's a little bit of anger. And I hope Paul's very pleased with that. It was a very impressive, a very impressive performance by him and the rest of the cast. And that was Stephen Moffat who wrote it as well, wasn't it? So,
it was, yeah.
It was. So,
thank you, Stephen Moffat.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Possibly words that don't get said enough.
No, probably not by me as well. But I think, you know, you got to say that was very nicely handled. It was very well hidden. It was good that it was nice that he recognised, made Paul McGann a recognised character there. I thought they decked him out really nicely. I thought the hair was good. You know,
yep.
It was a good look for him. Yeah, the police box I noticed was very Eccleston-y again, a few dirty marks on it, but.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
a lovely piece of Doctor Who. That if you haven't watched it yet, listener, you must have watched it. Surely you've watched it by now. Even if you haven't watched it, go and watch it again.
I definitely think you should. I think you should definitely watch it twice because it's so rare. I mean, you think the last one. Well, no, we've had a few mini episodes, I suppose, since Time Crash, but. Nothing that really ranked as so relevant and so interesting within itself.
It's canon affirming, isn't it?
You
can't miss this.
You can't. And I think, as I said, this is a little bit of canon I think isn't fan wanky, that really does serve the story, and it serves a Doctor who's held the mantle for a long time. So 1996 to technically till 2005, really. And still playing, still playing the Doctor as well. And it's just really nice to see that he's had a little moment in this 50th, even if the others.
Of course, if we measure from first appearance to regeneration,
yeah,
it's 1996 to 2013.
Yes, true. Beat that, Capaldi. That's a bit of regeneration. But no, I'm really pleased. As I said to you before, I'm really pleased that big Finnish reference just really did was just such a nice touch to legitimise his continuity. So you can actually now listen to Big Finish episodes of Paul McGann and sit back thinking, yes, this is actually the Doctor's era. These happened. Whether the Time Wars erased most of it, so it didn't happen, who cares? But they are now, in theory, I know people will say, well, we don't know that. It could have been entirely different adventures with a different Lucy and a different Molly.
A different Molly and different Charlie.
Yes.
Who's really a girl.
Or it could be the same.
Maybe this Charlie's a little cockney boy.
Oh, exactly. I mean, it could be like, you know, the revisions between Star Trek, the film, and Star Trek, the original series. You know, same characters, different actors, slightly different personalities for the TV versions. But, you know, I think it's
right. Well, I think that's going too far, isn't it?
Well, I'd be annoyed
what Stephen Moffat's done. So.
I'd be annoyed if Wikipedia tries to, because Wikipedia being an entity in itself, not a person. It is a person in itself. Wikipedia tries to pull that off, which wouldn't put it past it. Some people just don't like that attitude. I think, what do you think Brian will be? I think Brian will be rather excited about this, won't he?
I think Brian is very excited. I've seen Facebook. Brian couldn't make it today because he's busy working. obviously, James and I are a little more flexible in how we work. So
we are.
Fortunately, for moments like this.
We are, yes. My work's on my other window at the moment. I can drag it over in a minute's moment. So, yeah, everyone seems excited.
The actual reaction seems very good, so that's excellent and deserved, I think. So so to wrap it up, the Night of the Doctor, Paul McGann back as the Doctor for 6 or 7 minutes. Don't miss it, Castorbright. Go watch it now.
Thank you very much.
If you've already seen it, watch it again.
Absolutely. I'm sure he'll be watching it many times in his tin box. So thank you very much, everyone, for listening to this. We'll get this up very shortly. I will just go and find the lid and replace Christian Corley in a box and put him back on the shelf.
Oh, no.
Ready for...
Oh, no.
Shut up. Ready for Monday. Thank you very much.